90.3 867 1190
Near FM.
I am delighted to welcome back to Northside Today, the Monday edition thereof, Sinn Féin TD Mark Ward. Mark, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Morning, Donny, and thanks for having me on.
Mark, we're going to discuss an item this morning which both yourself and your party colleague Eoin O'Brien have a huge input and interest in, and I want to broaden it out slightly from the topic which we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a derelict site levy. But before we talk about that, Mark, is there not a vacant site tax in place at the moment, such as it is?
There is, but the problem is that there is the local authorities aren't either haven't got the resources to collect them, or they haven't been collecting them. So if you walk around, say, Dublin Midwest and my area, Smadalkin and Lucan, it's absolutely heartbreaking to see the amount of vacant boarded up properties that are just left to go into rack and ruin, where we have thousands of people who are waiting to go onto the council list, they're waiting to get a house off the council, and they're waiting for up to and over 10 years or more to access these homes. So when you see houses being boarded up, it's absolutely heartbreaking. And I get phone calls left, right and centre off a number of residents around the area saying, Mark, I'm on the council list 7 or 8 years now. There's a house down the road from me that's boarded up the last 2 years. Cannot be done about that. So this is what we're looking to do, to get something in place that's going to bring these vacant houses back into stock.
Yeah, in fact, I saw an interview over the weekend with, I think, the Lord Mayor of Galway, but I'm open to correction on that. It was certainly a local councillor in Galway, and she said there is one woman down there that's on the housing list, I think she said for 19 years. Her children, who were babies when she went on the housing list, are now adults. I mean, that is scandalous. And there's one area in particular, Mark. Now, I haven't been over there in a while, excuse me, but it struck me as appalling, is the word I will use. And it's an area of the city that I would be very familiar with, and a lovely part of the city. It's real old Dublin as well. And that is the area along Thomas Street. Now, you would probably be familiar with it from coming in and out to the Dáil, because you'd be travelling that road regularly. The amount of vacant properties on Thomas Street alone, for years I have found it puzzling as to why something can't be done with those buildings, because you and I both know, and the listeners this morning know, the longer you leave a building, it, as you said, starts to fall into disrepair. And once it starts falling into disrepair, that process speeds up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Thomas Street would be an area, now it's not outside of my constituency, but it would be an area that I would know really, really well. As a child, we would have been brought in there and into the Liberty Markets, and we would have done our meat shopping on Meat Street. And it was a hive of cultural kind of Dublin activity.
And I'll bet your parents never went to Thomas Street without going to Frawley's.
Absolutely. Frawley's was a stop that we used to have. We were lucky enough, we used to go into Manning's Bakery there, and we might got a cake on the way home as well. So these are all part of my childhood memories. And it does be, so this is what I'm talking about. You can see a whole street there where there is vacant properties right across that street at the main thoroughfare. It looks terrible. It brings down the whole area. And if we were able to turn these vacant properties back into homes, we could re-energise that area. We could bring more people into the area. We could get back to that cultural kind of centre that was in and around Thomas Street and the Liberties back in the day. So that's what we're talking about. Just because it might be one vacant home or two vacant homes, they bring down a whole area. So we need to be able to bring these back into house of stock and to stop this out. As part of a method that's going to tackle this house crisis.
Yeah, because, I mean, I often describe the housing crisis, Mark, and I've spoken to Eoin a few times and a number of your colleagues over the years, and, of course, yourself as well in relation to it. I often describe the housing crisis as like the spokes of an old cartwheel. There are so many different aspects to it and so many different parts that need to be addressed. There is not a one-fits-all or one-fix-all, I think, solution to this. I mean, yes, we need to build houses. Yes, we need to maybe appropriate other land. There are, which we're going to talk about, or we're talking about this morning, there are a number of buildings which are already standing on their own sites empty. Now, what can be done, Mark? I mean, I know what you're looking for, but tell us what can be done before they fall down, and then you're tripling or quadrupling the cost of putting them back into service.
Yeah, and this is what we're looking for. So for too long, so we know we're looking to resource basically our local authorities. At the moment, there's over 12 million that hasn't been collected in derelict sites levy so far. So this is money that could be used to resource the local authorities in order to go and get these buildings back into stock. So that's what needs to happen. We need to go through the Vacant Sites Act. We need to use the derelict sites levy in order to get these homes and these buildings back into habitable conditions. Because at the moment, not collecting 12 million to me is absolutely scandalous. But when you're talking to local authorities, they don't have the resources themselves to enable them to go out and collect these levies and find out exactly who is liable for them.
And when you're talking about a derelict site levy, Mark, you're basically zoning in, for I feel excuse the pun, on greenfield and brownfield sites that are fenced off and just left there to, one would presume, accumulate value.
That's on the derelict sites levy, absolutely. So these are sites that are, it's land hoarding. So these are developers or landowners who could be sitting on this site and hoping that the price of land increases, and they're just land hoarding. So we need to put things into place to stop this land hoarding. The other part of it is what we're talking about in relation to these derelict buildings and these buildings that are homes that are vacant and vacant for a long time for whatever reason. We need to be able to go and tackle and put in solutions in order to bring them back into stock. We need to bring the land back into local authority control so we can start building on these vacant lands as well.
Yeah, I know, Mark, my recollection of it at the time was, and look, it's probably an unfair question to ask you straight off the cuff, because I want to assure the listeners that absolutely nothing here is rehearsed. I refuse, on a point of principle, to give the questions I'm going to ask to any guest.
I'm well aware of that, Tony, so I can see something coming in from the left side here.
And also, I will not be dictated to by any guest as to what questions I should ask them as well. Let me put that out there as well.
Excellent.
So that's why I'm want to preface what I'm going to say by with that. I remember at the time doing an interview or doing a couple of interviews in relation to the derelict sites levy. Now, there's a recollection in my head at the time that the fines to be levied for people leaving these sites derelict wasn't exactly exorbitant. So my basic maths tells me that if the fine isn't overly exorbitant, and you were telling us this morning that there's over 12 million to be collected, that would lead me to suggest that there are quite a lot of derelict sites around the place that could be getting built on right now as we speak.
Absolutely. And if the fines aren't appropriate to the actual problems that having vacant sites have, then we need to look in how we can make these fines appropriate. And if that needs to be, as in bringing up the amount of fines that people are levied for having vacant sites, then that's something that we really need to look at. But we can have all the amount of fines in the world, or the amount of levies in the world on vacant sites, but if we haven't got the local authorities properly resourced in order to collect them, you're just getting caught in semantics. So we need to make sure that the local authorities have the proper resources available to them in order for them to go and collect these levies in the first place. And then, if need be, if we need to increase these levies, we can increase these levies.
Mark, here's a novel idea. I wonder, has anybody thought of it? What about CPOs, compulsory purchase orders? Use it or lose it?
Absolutely. So, at the moment in Dublin Midwest, we're South Dublin County Council are engaging with a CPO in an area called St. Mark's. There's a site on in St. Mark's that's been left, it's in Condalkham, that's been left to rack and ruin over the years. It's full of illegal dumping, and the council since last year have started the ball rolling in order to CPO. It's quite a complex legal matter that has to happen, but it can be done. So at the moment we're almost there at the stage with the CPO on that site. So that needs to be something else that local authorities need to look at in order to go on CPO sites. Again, we have to make sure that our local authorities are properly resourced in order to be able to go and CPO these sites as well.
Now, Mark, I know you're not a builder and you're not a developer, at least I don't think you are.
Absolutely.
But
not.
That one that you're familiar with, St Mark's, which is it's in Clondalkin, and the reason I'm asking this question is because this is not unique to Clondalkin or Ballyfermot or Blanchardstown or Finglas or Ballymun or Coolock. This is right round the city, and indeed in the city as well, these plots of land are. But in relation to that site in St Mark's there in Clondalkin, Mark, how many houses would you put on it?
How many houses? I'd say you would get 12 houses on that. The problem, the issue with this one, this was private land that was zoned for housing. There was plan permission given for, I think it was 12, between houses and apartments on it. There was an issue then, and it went into probate, and that's where it's been at since. So it's been vacant for numerous years. It must be 15 years now at this stage. And the council now at this stage, because of pressure from ourselves, have started the ball rolling for a compulsory purchase order. So hopefully if this goes through, there will be scope then for the council to, in order to maybe house another 12 families on that site.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing about it is, once you, if you can get that through, and I'm going to get kind of bogged down here in legalese, so I want the listeners to bear with me. I'm not going to bore you, I promise. But if you get that through, you would then have what I would imagine would be like a case stated, so it will make the next one that little bit easier, and so on and so forth.
Hopefully, yeah. So now, listen, local authorities have compulsory purchase order sites in the past. Now, as I said, it's back to resources. They're very complicated. They're very time consuming. You need the resources there in order to be able to keep pursuing that and go through all the legalities, as you mentioned. So this one has been taken a long time, but the council have pushed it forward. I don't know if they would have the resource to be able to do numerous of these CPOs at the same time. So that's something that we need to look at.
Mark, anecdotally here, and just from your own knowledge, are there many just cold hard businessmen and women, let's not be sexist here, who are sitting on vacant land where it's there, ready to go, shovel ready even, and they're saying, no, if I hold out for another 6 months, there's 10 grand gone on to the value of that, or maybe more. Is there many sites like that around the city?
There's numerous sites around the city where people are land hoarding. I'll give you one example, and it's back in my area. So the Clumburra's STZ, it's 8,500 homes that's going to go onto this site out in between. It runs from Clondalkin right up to Lucan. It's an STZ. The council have a stake of 22.5% of that land in there. That land, there was a decision made then to build these homes over a phased basis with all the proper infrastructure in them. But that decision was appealed to Umbar Pronola. Now, not only was it appealed by developers because they wanted to slow it down so the land would increase, it was also appealed. NAMA were part of that discussion. They appealed that decision, so they were looking to increase the land for the state, which was bonkers. And it was also appealed by other parties, including Tina Gale. They would have went in and appealed that decision as well at that time. So it just bizarrely, when we have a chance to build a proper infrastructure town in the heart of Clondalkin and Lucan, 8,500 homes, all the jobs, all the schools, everything in it as a phase basis, the landowners are still going in and appealing this and slowing down the whole process. So it's only now, that process was slowed down for well over a year because of this.
Yeah, and I mean, when you're talking about that number of houses, you're talking about 40-odd thousand people taken off the housing list.
You're talking about a town the size of Wexford being put in the heart of Clondalkin and Lucan. That's basically...
And if and I'm working from memory here, Mark, that I think, or from what I can remember, that would be, we'll say, if you're travelling on that new link road between Lucan and Clondalkin, it'd be on the left-hand side as you come up from Clondalkin towards Lucan, is it? Is that stretch of land there?
Yeah, so it's that road kind of runs, and the link road runs, so it's on the left and the right-hand side. So it's that big stretch all the way up. So if you're talking about, geographically, you're talking about right where the bridge at Neilstown and Coppermore is, and it goes right up to the touches base with Adamstown. So it's a long stretch of land. It's a huge stretch of land that has massive potential. The only difference between this STZ and other STZ is that the council had a 22.5% stake of the land in there. So we've managed to maximise. There was my motion that was passed at the council. We're going to maximise that to make sure that we have the most amount of social, affordable and affordable rental homes throughout that development.
Just to come back on that one, because it's the first I've heard of it, Mark, so I'm thinking on my feet here, as usual.
And that's why I'm doing the same on this side as well. We're not the same.
NAMA have a stake in it.
Yeah.
Who are run by the government. The government have a responsibility to house the citizens of the state. Yep. And yet a spoke of government, of the government wheel, are holding out to make it even more expensive to purchase the land to put the houses on in the first place, thus making the houses more expensive for the citizens to buy. Am I missing something?
No, you're absolutely right. I actually raised this on the floor directly with the Taoiseach there last year when it came up again. I called it an unholy trinity between developers, NAMA and Fine Gael, were the ones that were delaying the development of these 8,500 houses. And I stand over that. I was the only public representative that went into Umbar Pleanála and spoke in favour of the development. It's something that we needed to get done. It needed to be done properly. It needed to be done on a phased basis. It needed to be done with the proper schools, the proper roads infrastructure, the proper amenities, the proper parks, all in tandem. So, for example, the way it's been done is after 1,000 houses are built in this development, there has to be so many amenities in place before the next 1,000 houses can be built. It's a proper way of doing things. And we got the best we could during the deliberations on South Dublin County Council. And then it was appealed, as you said, to Umbar Pleanála, which delayed the whole process by the developers, by NAMA and by Fine Gael.
And completed development there again, Mark, just throughout, how many houses, when it's fully completed, is projected?
Approximately 8,500 homes.
Oh, sorry, my maths were wrong. So 8,500, you're talking about probably up on 16 or 17,000 people taken off the housing list, sorry.
Roughly, I'm talking about 20, I think it's 20, if my memory serves me correctly, it's around 23,000 people that they reckon is going to be in this development.
Well, there you go. Now, come back again, Mark, because that's the the green and brownfield sites. Come back again to the hobby horse of where there are buildings standing, and as I said, the longer it goes on, the less chances they'll be standing much longer. But why is it that we see what used to be called corporation houses standing idle, boarded up? And you can tell, by the way, straight away who owns them by the way they're boarded up. So don't give me this crap of, oh, well, they're privately owned and we've no say over that. You, when you're used to looking at them, you know which is which. You know what's private and you know what's owned by the council. Why are they not put back in service?
And they should be. So the problems that we have at the moment, South Dublin County Council at one stage were doing really, really well. In other words, they had a 6 weeks turnaround in relation to when a home went back into council stock, whether somebody vacated the home, whether somebody might have passed away, wherever it might have been, they had a 6 week turnaround. At the moment, that's nowhere near 6 weeks. We're talking months at this stage before a council gets the house back into council stock in order for a new family to move in. It's too long, and it's a really heartbreaking process. It's for people, as you said yourself, Tony. You can see these homes be boarded up. They have the big steel shutters on the doors and on the windows, and people can see these vacant for a long time. People know these are council stock, and they want to ask the question why it's taken so long. It's back again to the resources that the local authorities have been getting. They've been cut to the bone over the last 10 years or so. So we need to make sure that our councils have the resources and the staff available in order to bring these back into stock. Shouldn't happen.
A lot of it, I think, and I'd be interested in your view of this, Mark, as you're closer to it than me. I remember, like, I came up here in 1982, and it was the hope of anybody with a trade that they could get working in the corpo as a plumber, as an electrician, as a block layer, as a carpenter, and they were made for life. And you always saw the corporation vans out doing something hither, tither and yon. Is that completely and utterly gone now? Are Dublin City Council and all the councils around the country, are they totally at the mercy now of private builders and private professionals in these trades?
Direct labour within the local authorities has been diminished over the years. So if somebody either is made redundant or somebody leaves that position, they're not being replaced. So we have seen a dwindling over the years of craftsmen such as carpenters, builders, electricians, plumbers, whoever it might be, working directly for South Dublin County Council or Dublin City Council or wherever it might be. And this has diminished then further the response in order to get people's homes maintained, but also in relation to getting homes torn back into council stock. The council seem to be overly reliant on contractors who are coming in to take these to take these jobs. And like all contractors, some contractors are good, and then there's other contractors whose standards of work, and we've seen it, are not up to scratch, but there seems to be very, very little recourse. If they were a direct labour crew that was working directly for a local authority, we could have recourse, we could make sure that these jobs are done completely, 100% professionally, and there would be accountability for them as well. And I have to say as well, Donny, the cost as well, now I wouldn't have these figures in front of me, the cost of employing contractors, it'd be far more than having direct labour crews there.
I would well imagine, because they're on the hour as opposed to being on a wage. So, I mean, there's a difference straight away. Mark, using the modern political buzzword, going forward, please, before we part company today, give me some hope and give the listeners some hope.
So, as you said, there's many spokes to the wheel when it comes to housing supply. So what we need to do is we need to start making sure that we're making housing affordable. We have to make sure that housing is accessible. And this includes purchasing, but it also includes rentals. We have to get back to the stage where we're building local authority homes on local authority land. We have to get back to the stage where we're not selling off public land to private developers, because that's why we're in the situation to begin with. So there is hope. There'll be hope when hopefully the next election comes around and we have a new government in there, and we have a government that have the vision and the response and the tools in order to provide the solutions to this housing market.
Well, I suppose, Mark, I'll have to challenge you on that one, because detractors from a change of government would say, where's the magic money tree going to come from to pay for all this?
And we would also say that we would have different priorities when it comes to how we spend the money that's available to us. And we produced the document. Owen O'Brien, as he said, was on the show. He's my party, he's my constituency colleague, has done comprehensive amount of policy work on this. The money's there. We just have a different way of prioritising how that money does be spent.
Mark Ward, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Midwest. Mark, again, thank you so much for joining me this morning. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. I think you know us here at Near FM well enough to know that we will be watching this housing situation with a very, very keen eye, and we will definitely be following it. Mark, as always, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tony. You have a good day.
Bye-bye now, and thanks again. Bye-bye. I don't know, my friends, there is some things in life that I can understand and makes perfect sense to me, and there are other things which just completely bamboozle me. Why you would leave a perfectly good house to deteriorate to the stage where it can only be knocked instead of putting it back in stock and putting a family into it and helping to build back up a community, I am at a loss as to know why that could be allowed to happen. You know, it'd be bad enough if we didn't have a housing crisis, but when you look at where we are.
90.3
867 1190
Near FM.